Hi, we here at Grace Life would love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you. We pray that this message will be a blessing to you and further establish you in the truth of God's Word.
So this week, just in preparing, and people ask you, how long do you prepare for a message? I'm like, I don't know how to answer that. How long do I sit in front of the laptop and do the notes, or how long do I meditate on it? And it differs. And sometimes when you get to the, like, Monday morning, you wake up and you're like, okay, Sunday's done. What am I going to share on next Sunday? And I'm like, no, wait. I don't want to do that. I just want to commune with God. I just want to spend time with God. I just want to refill. I want to connect with God. I want to just hear what God has to say for me personally. Because it really, what I need to share with you guys needs to come from a place of overflow. It needs to come from a place of fresh revelation. You don't want 3 weeks bread that's 3 weeks old. You want some fresh bread from heaven. Fresh manna every morning. So we need to stay fresh in the Word. And if you have any opportunity to minister, I want to encourage you with that. Don't just get into the Word to get something for someone else. Get into the Word for you. Get into the Word for you and God. Get into the Word for your relationship. And don't just go and look for the greatest revelation that's going to have this wow moment in church and people are going to come and praise you, because it's really not about that. And the problem with that is the more you preach like that, or the more you share like that, the more the pressure's on. Because the more you're going to have to keep on performing. And I really want to encourage you just to, as we grow in our ministry, and all of us are ministers, amen? I'm not the only minister in the room. Thank you, God. Because then this job would have been too hard. But we're all together in this, and you get to go and share. But you need to share from fresh revelation, from what God is saying to you. So, I was thinking about growth and our perspective of growth. And I mean growth, like growth in your business, growth in your relationship with God, growth maybe in your personal relationships. But God really challenged me. And challenge, you know, like, he doesn't, like, challenge you and, you need to go do the comrades or... No, that's not what he challenges. He challenges you by questioning sometimes just what is your view on something? What is your belief currently about that? And it comes from a place of inviting you to more. Inviting you to a deeper revelation. Inviting you to an increased view of who he really is. And I was challenged on my picture of growth. And growth, like... We speak the church is going to grow, and we see that we're going to have to take that wall down, and we're going to have 5 services instead of 3. Praise God, God's going to send more people to help us when that happens. But what is your perspective of growth? My wife was laughing behind a mask here, but I think it's maybe more panic if I start speaking like this. What is your picture of growth? What does growth look like for you? Is that a bigger house, a better car, a newer cell phone? What is growth in your business? Is growth more people, more clients, more income, more turnover? Is growth always a good thing? Sometimes you can grow yourself dead. Like in business, if you keep on growing, you can literally outgrow your cash flow and you can die. Your business can die. So is growth always a good thing? Maybe not. So I was thinking about this concept of a growth factor. Now, a factor is a circumstance, a fact, or an influence that contributes to a result. So I thought that would make a great name for a muscle building supplement. Grow factor times 5, X5 or something like that. I can see that. Maybe that's a business idea. I can see that sell. But Benry says he'll buy that. So grow factor. What is it that is the factors? What is the circumstances? What are the things that's contributing to growth? Now, if you consider yourself part of the church, then when the church grows, you grow. But guess what? The other way is also true. If you grow, the church grows. I remember years back in Durbanville, I shared a sermon, and it was how to grow the church. And I had some very skeptic people come to that service, and I realized I won't advertise it like that again, because people don't come to grow the church necessarily, they come to receive. But by growing yourself, how do you grow the church? You grow people. How do you grow the church? You grow in the depth, the maturity, the revelation of people, and those people will then go out and go and grow by themselves, but also invite others to join in with that growth. Sometimes growth isn't just an increase in numbers. Sometimes growth looks like growing up. Okay, so I hope you're ready for a good message. This is a word I believe in season for us. Growth looks like growing up. Like, we don't just need to add numbers. Yes, we want to add numbers, but we can grow in ourselves. We can grow in our maturity. Yesterday, we had the second year ministry school practical, and there was a lot of growth. You could see in a year's time how much the students have grown. Some of them, obviously, 2 years because it's the second year, the end of the second year. So there's really growth, even if you don't see just multiplication in numbers. Because guess what? Everyone that of us that grow in maturity, grow in understanding, grow in our ability to minister, not just receive the word, but now share it. All of a sudden, the church is growing because more people are hearing the gospel. That's why Accelerate Discipleship was so awesome, because it really kicked off a tidal wave of ministers, of disciple makers, of evangelists. 49 people just from Stellenbosch going out, reaching their neighbors, reaching the workplace, reaching out on the streets. So that is really growth. And sometimes I believe growth is growing up. I heard a story about a minister who went to a much older minister, and he said, the older minister asked him with all his wisdom, he said, how's the church? And he says, what do you mean? He says, how's the church growing? He says, what do you mean? He says, I mean, how are their feet, their hearts, and their heads? He says, what do you mean? He says, sometimes you grow in feet. You grow in the number of bums on seats as a church. But in other growth, you grow in your heart. Your heart for the gospel, your heart for nations, your heart to reach out. And sometimes, or that can be, it's not either or, like there's different growths. Another way of growth is your head. Your knowledge, your revelation, your understanding of who Christ is. Your renewal of your mind. Are you growing in a renewed mind? Are you growing into understanding more of who God is and where He is? So let's turn to Ephesians 4 and verse 11. And just before you think I'm not going to get into the scripture today, I promise you we are getting into scripture. Ephesians 4 and verse 11, I'll read the Amplified. It says, and His gifts to the church were varied, and He Himself appointed some as apostles, special messengers and representatives. Some as prophets who speak a new message from God to the people. Some as evangelists who spread the good news of salvation. And some as pastors and teachers to shepherd and guide and instruct. So God gave these leadership positions. He gave it to the church. But what is the motivation behind it? The motivation really is growth. The motivation is increase. The motivation is reaching out. But as pastors who get to shepherd the flock, what does that mean? What does that include? As pastors, we need to feed, we need to guide, and we need to instruct. We need to feed the people, and I'm calling all of us pastors, because we all get to minister to people, we all get to shepherd people, disciple people. You don't need to be up front to be a pastor. I still don't really like the stigma around being a pastor. So I don't like it, even at the workplace, when they say, yeah, I've never seen someone being an engineer and a pastor. But the way they say it, I'm like, yeah, maybe you need to come to church and you'll experience something different. Because my role is not to domineer. Okay, you know where that root word comes in? You don't, it's doomni. Okay. Get these blank stares. I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to explain that. I hope I wouldn't, but now I did. Okay, so that's not my role. My role is to shepherd, to care, to instruct. Now, instruct is not thou shalt. This is, yeah, maybe if you consider this and that and these implications and what I've seen before and what I've seen God do, this would be a good idea. That is instruct. That is guide. That is feed. Feed fresh bread. Pastors aren't called to make clones. It's pastors, not scientists. Okay? It's not scientists. If we want to just grow the number of seeds, we need to become clone makers. Cloning sheep, cloning people. Or we need to preach on fertility and multiplication every week. And that's also not what we're about to do. So pastors aren't called to clone sheep. Sheep make sheep. Shepherds don't make sheep. So we're speaking about growth. We're speaking about growing up. Shepherds don't make sheep. Shepherds ensure that the sheep are protected, nourished, and empowered. Shepherds ensure that the sheep are shepherded, meaning that you are nourished, that you're empowered, that you're protected. Now, God gave these gifts, the fourfold ministry, to equip the saints to do what? The work of the ministry. What is the work of the ministry? It's increase, it's growth. Verse 12 says, and He did this. So, we're looking at, these are the gifts, this is how they operate. Now we're looking at why. Why did God give these gifts? He says he did this to fully equip and perfect the saints, God's people, for works of service, to build up the body of Christ. That's the amplification. To build up the body of Christ, which is the church. What are the three things we get from there? We have leadership to fully equip, to perfect, and to build up. Now, all of that is, it's a type of growth, but it's not growing in numbers just yet. To be equipped, to be more equipped, you grow in your skill set, you grow in your application, you grow maybe in your understanding of who God is, how to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. To perfect means to, not like you're going to be more holy, because in Christ you are holy, that's why he calls you saints, to equip the saints, the holy ones, the set apart ones, but maybe we can grow in being more set apart, being less like the world, being more mission focused, being more Christ minded. Maybe we can build up ourselves in our most holy faith by praying more in tongues. So that's all signs of growth. So if you start going to the gym, you're going to grow if you eat right, sleep right, and train right. But you're not going to multiply, and there's not going to be more of you. So this morning, I just want to challenge our thinking about growth just a little bit. And maybe you're looking at growth on the outside the whole time, and you're waiting for, I don't know, your ship to come in, and that ship maybe includes a lot of money and a lot of people. And that ship is going to park here when on one rainy day, and it's going to just, people are just going to start flooding in. And I want to challenge you with, like, what is growth? And what's your part in it? And really to become a healthy church by being built up in the body of Christ, by being fully perfected and fully equipped. Verse 13 says, until we all reach oneness. So we can grow in unity, in the faith, and in the knowledge of the Son of God. Again, we don't need to go understand everything of the Bible. We need to grow in our oneness, in unity, but also in the faith of the Son of God. So the more we grow in that understanding, the more we grow spiritually. It says to become mature believers. Growth and maturity goes hand in hand. That's why as you grow up, and then you speak to grown-ups, that's usually more mature people. It's adulting. Now, I know adulting is not always fun. Amen? This will be better in the evening service, maybe. I know adulting is not always fun. It's admin. It's like, it's not always just slip and slides and jungle gyms and swimming pools. You need to actually, when you're an adult, you need to make sure that the swimming pool is full, that it's clean, that the creepy crawly is working, that the leaves are out. If you're a kid, you just go enjoy the pool. Now, as a church, if we want to grow, we don't just get to enjoy the pool. We get to partake in making the pool pleasant so that other people would want to come and come and play in the pool. That's our opportunity. That's an invitation, I believe, for us to grow, to mature, to move forward. It says to reach the full measure of the fullness of Christ, manifesting his spiritual completeness and exercising our spiritual gifts in unity. That is so much in there. Like in Christ, we have so much. We have all the gifts. We have the fullness of Christ. But guess what? The fullness of Christ in Marna, the fullness of Christ in me, is going to manifest differently. So it's for us to find our place, to find our part where the fullness of your gifting comes and adds a lot of value instead of trying to put someone else down, but rather the glorious light shining together unto one eternal glory, which is Christ. This morning, the setup just went like perfect. Okay, I can see they're struggling at the back now, but the setup went perfect. And I said it must have been the A-team, but guess what? It was just the right people arriving at the right time, everyone knowing exactly what they do. I had a chill morning. I had no chaos to sort out like I often do. I got to make a design which we didn't get to in the week like this morning. So why? Because everyone fulfilled their part. Everyone knew what they were doing and they know exactly. And then Ephesians 4 goes on and it speaks about us doing our part, but doing it in unity. And it speaks about the joints. And that really challenged me in the week. So we can all be our part, but guess what? We can't be out of joint. You can have a massive arm, but if your shoulder is out of joint, you can't use it. So really where we need to grow is in the joints. It's where we deal with people. And again, that's maturity. And the more we have a Christ mindset, the more we're going to live with the immaturity of others, growing in our maturity and overcoming that deficit by saying, I'll give the surplus love in this situation. I'll keep on loving even when I don't receive any love back. I'll keep on giving even when I don't receive anything back. But guess what? I'm not giving and going to run dry. I'm going to go and receive from Christ, sit under His presence, receive His love, let the Holy Spirit minister to me until it overflows, and now I can flow into that section. And when this arm is out of joint, then the left arm might need to do more. But in Christ for that season, you'll have enough power to do so. But we get all to play a part. What does maturity look like? It looks like adulting. Verse 14, now it gets interesting. Remember, we're talking about growth. We said that growing isn't just growing in numbers. Sometimes growth is growing up. It says, so that we are no longer children. There you go. Grown-ups. Ephesians, the book of grace. If you look at this, it's quite something. It says that we come in the unity, that we grow up. Why? So that we are no longer children, spiritually immature, tossed back and forth like ships on a stormy sea, and carried about by every wind of shifting doctrine, by the cunning and trickery of unscrupulous men, by the deceitful scheming of people ready to do anything for personal profit, but speaking the truth in love in all things, both our speech and our lives expressing His truth. Let us grow up. And that's really the sentence that got to me. Let us grow. Yes, let's grow. Let's grow. But let us grow up. Let's grow up first in all things into Him. And that's the beauty. When you grow up into Christ. You actually grow away from yourself into who Christ is and who Christ is in you. And that's actually, like Paul says, I become weaker, then Christ becomes stronger. And growing is really that. It's lying down your own efforts and saying, but guess what? I'm going to be humble. Now, if you bring up kids, I'm sure you need to teach them how to be humble. Because humility is something like, it's a bit of an adulting thing again. I spoke to someone in the week, and this was interesting. He spoke about a certain touch rugby group. And this touch rugby group is quite competitive, apparently. I mean, there's even some Springbok Sevens players that play there and stuff, but there's no age limit. So there's some guys in their 60s that still play there. And I spoke to this person, he said, I never realized that older people can be so competitive. He says, because I'm now a bit older and I've sort of grown out of that competitiveness in a humility. But guess what? That doesn't happen for everyone. So spiritual maturity has got nothing to do with your age. It's got everything to do with your understanding of who Christ is in you. Because it says here that when we grow up in all things into Christ. Growing away from our understanding into Christ's view of things. And that's really humility. Saying, God, I don't know the best you do. Tell me where to go. God, I don't know the best you do. Tell me who to phone, who to love, what service to come and serve at. Let us grow up into all things, into Him, following His example, who is the head, Christ. Growth often looks like growing up in all things, every area, into what? Into Christ. Every area of our lives can be united with Christ. Every thought taken captive to the obedience of Christ at the cross. Verse 16 says, from Him, the whole body, the church, in all its various parts. We spoke about this a bit already. Joined and knitted firmly together in Him. How do we grow closer together? Maybe you get that part this morning. You're like, Peter, we get this. I don't want the shoulder to be out of joint. We want to be closer together. But guess what? On a humanistic level, that's difficult. Because we all have our opinions. We all have our understanding. We all have our background. We all have dreams and ambitions. The only way that we can do that is by growing more into Christ. And then as we grow into Christ, we actually come closer and closer together on a lateral level. But that is not necessarily our aim. That is the result of growing closer to Christ. Now, Christ is never going to be closer to you than what He is this morning. But your understanding of how close He is can increase. And that is growth, and that's maturity, and that's understanding and operating more in the power. It says that there's the various parts joined and knitted firmly together by what every joint supplies. When each part is working properly, it causes the body to grow. Yes, then the church is going to be full and we're going to have multiple services. No, it says it's going to grow and mature. It's going to grow and mature. I remember one night someone stood up here in the service, was still at Rhenish, and he said, this is a workshop. Here I come and I be equipped, and there I go out and I go and change the world. And he was actually speaking about taking the authority over his baby's life in hospital and speaking life into that body and saying to us as a church, like, I received the understanding. I grew up in that understanding of my authority. Now I go out into the world and I claim the life of my baby. And that baby was on his shoulder. That was the most beautiful part. Completely healed. A week later. Why? Because we grew in maturity in our understanding of who Christ is and taking the fullness of Christ, not just on a Sunday morning, but out there into the world and saying, thou shalt live, not by my name, but by the name of Jesus who now lives in me. That is growth. That is increase. That is maturity. The various parts working together, each part working properly, causes the body to grow and mature, building itself up in unselfish love. So beautiful. Remember what I said, sometimes you're just going to have to love more than the other person. Sometimes you're just going to have to keep on. Sometimes you're going to have to invite again, even when you don't get the return. Now, I'm not, again, calling you to get yourself burned out. Like, that's not us. If you haven't been around a while, we're not trying to get people burned out. Like, that's not the heart. The heart is rest, overflow, receive. But then love. And love is unselfish. Love really by its root is unselfish. Love gives. Love is generous. We grow up when each part is doing its part. The body grows, matures. What does growth look like? Growth looks like unselfish love. Why? Because growth looks like Jesus. Growth, maturity looks like Jesus. Jesus gave and gave and gave. Jesus came down from heaven to give. He stepped down from his authority. He stepped down from having a nice day with a great aircon and golden pathways and the best, just the right wind and atmosphere in heaven. He stepped down from that to come into a desert and come and wash feet. That is maturity. Maturity is not having someone wash your feet and sitting back and giving them 50 rand or 100 rand, or maybe you feel generous, give them 200 rand. No, maturity is getting on your knees and washing their feet. Because love is unselfish. Maturity is like Christ. Let's go back to verse 14. We're speaking about growth. We're speaking about growing up. We're speaking about becoming adults, mature Christians. It says that so that we are no longer children. Now, we all want growth, don't we? But we all don't want to grow up necessarily. Now, there's a nice part about growing up. You can decide where you live. You can decide where you go. You can say yes or no for yourself. It's actually what God has called us to do. But sometimes I've heard, this is a shocking story, I've heard that you get these CEOs of multiple billion-dollar corporations, and they've got this retreat, sort of, where you can become an adult baby for a day. You pay like thousands of rands. And they've got like adult-sized cots. And they put on a nappy. And they go and scream and do everything there for a day. Because the weight of their responsibility is just too much. Okay, that's horrible, but that happens, man. Because that is if you grow without Christ. That is if you grow to impress and you try and live on a level that you're not there yet. Maybe we're not ready for 1,000 people from Stellenbosch to storm this place on a Sunday. But let's grow and get ready for the 100, for the 200, for the 300. Let's go and be in the upper room as often as we can, so when the Holy Spirit comes, He has come. No, don't wait for that. He has come, but let's live from His power, and let's go and live increase from that place. Let's grow up into who Christ is, and guess what? We don't need to find Christ in heaven, because Christ is right on the inside of us. And the maturity is really gaining knowledge and understanding who He is. But I don't get healed. I'm not going to move until I don't have any pain. Forget about the pain. People are not going to go to heaven if you focus on your pain. That's what a child does. A child falls and everything is about that pain. A parent cuts his hand, the household needs to go on. Tape it and you'll fix it later. You need to grow up. Let's get the gospel out. Let's get Christ into the world, the message of God's unconditional love and grace. We can deal with healing, yes, we can deal with those things, but let's be purposeful. Let's not have tick boxes and checklists until we do what God has called us to do. Let's just do it, growing into that. So growing up really means becoming a child in the eyes of God again. Unselfishly loving, but then also obeying. Going for what He has for us. Now I want to just conclude, and it's a bit of a longer conclusion. Natasha said, I can't say conclude and then go for another 20 minutes. So I'm prefacing this as a bit of a longer conclusion. Okay. Ephesians 4 and verse 14 says, so that we are no longer children, spiritually immature, tossed back and forth like ships on a stormy sea, and carried about by every wind of shifting doctrine, by the cunning and trickery of unscrupulous men, by the deceitful scheming of people ready to do anything for personal profit. Excuse me, I just wanted to just focus on this for a bit. What does it look like to be immature? What does it look like to be immature? Well, there's a great piece of advice there. No longer be like children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So, what we get here, I want to link that quickly to Luke 15. So Luke 15 speaks about the lost son, the lost sheep, and the lost coin. Just keep that on the board quickly. No longer be like children, a walk-away son. No longer be tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine like a lost sheep. And no longer by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. It speaks about profiteering like a lost coin. So growing up means stop being lost, come back to the house. Be found in Christ, be found in the family. To be spiritually immature is to be like a lost son, walk away and just go for what you want. To be tossed back and forth like a ship on a stormy sea, carried about by every wind of doctrine and shift, is like a lost sheep that just goes for the nicest, greenest grass wherever you can find it. The falling for cunning trickery, deceitful scheming, and doing anything for profit is the lost coin, not adding value in the right place. Finding value in the wrong things. So Luke 15 speaks about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Or is it the lost sons? Because if you look back, which of the two sons actually grew up? The one that came back, I believe, grew much more than the one who lived a holy life. Because his understanding of who God is or who Christ is in him never really got there. So let's go quickly to Luke 15 and verse 1. It says, then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. This man receives sinners and eats with them. So we understand the story of the lost son. And I mean, in this church, you've heard it preached multiple times. We know the story of the lost sheep and the lost coin. But do we know the context? The context is Jesus is answering religious Pharisees by parables. Gelykenisse is the Afrikaans word, which I really like because it says, it is equal to. This story is equal to how it actually is. Or this story is equal to explaining something to you. So Jesus told these parables in an answer by answering the accusations against him. Why are you dealing with sinners and tax collectors? So anyone who worked for SARS, I will pray for you afterwards. Verse 8. We're going to jump straight in about the woman with the coin. It says, for what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which is lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of heaven or angels of God over one sinner who repents. And I've always sort of, you get this and you read on and you want to get to the prodigal son. Because there's so much detail, and it's the robe, and it's the ring, and it's the sandals, and there's so many symbolism. And I felt God call me to just park here and just look at this for a bit. Now, what got my attention really was the word sweep. She lit a lamp, and she swept the house with a broom. Now, that goes in multiple ways. Like, children don't really do a good job sweeping. They think they do. But sweeping really is an adult, it's a grown-up's job, if you want to do it properly. But the reason for why we sweep is also different. So I remember one day we were about to leave for lunch or a dinner engagement,
And Natasha looked at her hand, and she wasn't wearing her engagement ring.
Which happens often.
But she just couldn't find it.
And we were like, our lives are full, so we're usually on time, not in time. In time is better because then you're ahead of time. And I said, we need to go now. And she said, but I don't know where my ring is. I mean, luckily we had a good relation with this person that we had the engagement with. And we let them know that we're just looking for something. We're going to be a few minutes late, which turned into an hour and a half late, which turned into a delicate sweeping of the house. And guess what? The call, or why, the reason for sweeping wasn't because we wanted a clean house. The reason for sweeping was to find something precious that was lost. God didn't come to sweep the earth of sin because he wanted a clean house. God came down in the form of Jesus to sweep the earth from the dirt of sin, not because he wanted a clean house, but because he was looking for something precious. He was looking for me and for you. The result of having sin dealt with was never really the main idea. I mean, we had a clean house after looking for that ring. We had a spotless house. But the reason for sweeping the floors from corner to corner was not to get a clean house. And how has religion turned that upside down? By making the view of God coming down to deal with sin because he hated sin so much bigger than he came down because he lost something precious. And that really, for me, is another way of growing up. It is to understand that we are sweeping the earth not because we're wanting to deal with sin, but we are growing up into Christ, into his understanding, and we are sweeping the earth looking for precious people that's been lost. Growing up and adulting is understanding the value of people over the value of things. A child will pick up a 5 cent and will be very excited on the road. I've got money, Mom. And you're like, yeah, you got, but it's not worth much. You can't do anything with that. So we will walk past 5 cents in the road. Think about losing a 1 rand. You're not really going to sweep the house for that 1 rand. But what if you lost a Kruger rand? Just one Kruger rand. Now, Kruger rand is a gold coin. Say you had 10. And you lost one. If you have 10 1 rand coins, you lose one, you go on with your life. So you have 10 Kruger rands. Will you stop everything and look for that Kruger rand? How about God has got many children? You are worth much more than gold. If he loses one, he's going to stop everything and look for that one. It says that she swept the floors, the house. She did something before that. She lit a lamp. Because we know as adults, we don't play donkerkamer with these kids. You're not going to find anything there. When we were looking for Natasha's ring, we put all the lights on. We opened the windows. We opened the curtains. We started sweeping because we were looking for something precious. God said, I see the world is dark. I see that sin is overbounding. I see that you guys are struggling. So I light a lamp. I call him Jesus. And he is the light of the earth. And I'm going to send him right down into earth. And he's going to come do something. He's going to come and sweep. Not to deal with sin, but to find something of eternal value. Sin, even under the old system, could be covered in 12 months. An annual sacrifice. So sin really is not eternal. So if we fight sin the whole time, we are dealing with something temporal. But if we sweep the house looking for something valuable, we are looking, returning something like sweeping, talking to people, sharing with them, inviting them for coffee, something temporal. Guess what? You're going to have a great coffee today. Tomorrow morning, you're going to want another one. But you're going to disciple people who have eternal purpose, eternal value. So let's go about doing what we do, sweeping, lighting, letting our light shine, doing the normal things, doing the adult things, doing the admin, doing the dishes, doing whatever we need to do. But the mindset of growth is, I'm not doing it because I want a clean house. I'm doing it because I'm looking for eternal value. Why? Because Ecclesiastes says that eternity has been written in our hearts. And that's why you can be a billion-dollar CEO and go cry like a baby with a nappy on, because you are not fulfilling the eternity in your heart. And yes, that is cry-worthy. That should be causing tantrums. That should cause a longing. Because when we grow up into eternal things. We grow up into Christ in us. We grow up into unity with Him. We grow up into a church mindset, which is not about me, but it's about joining with others. Each finding our place, each joining, each taking our part. And when I'm so tired sweeping, it is to not stop sweeping, but to have someone there to say, your turn, you take the broom. I'm going to go straight and rest. To come with that cold glass of water and say, let me take the broom today. Let me have a coffee with that person. Let me lift up your hands. Let me be knitted together with you in this. Let me carry your burden, like the Bible says. Growing up really means unselfish love. It means that we become disciples of Christ. And by this you will know that the world will know that you're my disciples. Not by the cars you drive, not by where you live, not by the number of your church, but by your love for each other. What is our purpose? Our purpose is eternal. Our purpose is to accept the value that God has placed on us and to realize, if I am this valuable to God, then every other person is too. If I am this valuable, why a coin? Because it's got the image of the King. We are made in His image and likeness. And when the image of the King is missing, we need to help the King. We need to do what the King is doing. We need to align with His purposes. We need to let our light shine. And let's clean the world. Not because we're dealing with sin, but because we are looking for purposeful, eternal beings. Let's grow up into the true thing that life is about. And let's live lives of purpose and destiny. Let's live the abundant life.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to connect with us, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us at info@gracelife.co. If you'd like to order more resources or discover more about us, you can visit our website at www.gracelife.co or find us on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.